And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, as you know, I always really like it when someone's in the studio. And I have Tara Green here. Now, Tara and I go back, well, a few years. We were trying to discuss, I think it's been quite a while. We did a training session, you know, pretty much at the beginning of my journey together. And we've sort of kept in touch the entire time. So welcome, Tara.
Hey, thank you, Lori.
It's been a while getting you on here. I'm just really apologize for that.
Well, no, I don't think it's your fault, you know. But, you know, when it's meant to be.
There
so
you go.
Here we are.
So usually we start off with, you know, our guest's journey. So what kind of brought you? You do a host of different things. You do tarot, and you do astrology, and you do dowsing, and you're really into the intuitive arts, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think astrology is amazing, but it's such a science. I mean, mm-hmm. This is not something you go into lightly. It's something you really, you have to study pretty much your life.
Yeah. And it does take a long time, but it has to kind of call you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It has to be something you get totally immersed in, and there's always more to learn. And then even those ideas are always getting shaken up. There's a lot of changes going on in the astrological world these days, like there is everywhere else. So you have to keep your mind open. But there is a lot to learn about it. But it does, it's like anything else. Once you learn the basic structure, your knowledge goes deeper. You know? And there is an intuitive element to it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us how you started.
How I started everything?
Yes.
How I started everything.
What was there any catalyst that sort of pushed you into this area?
I think I was born psychic. I just remember seeing things and energies and spirits and light particles and things like that, you know, when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty common for most children. But I think when I opened up my mouth and I'd say, because I could see who somebody really is, when I was a kid, I got into big trouble. So I had to learn to keep my mouth shut, kind of. But as I was saying, when I was around 12 years old, I started having spontaneous out-of-body experiences and distant viewing and stuff like that that woke me up, and sort of just having to trust that, because I guess I had a kind of traumatic birth, too. I was born 2 months premature.
Mm.
So it just, you know, it just grew. And then I studied and I read a lot myself about Wiccan stuff, and I was drawn to all that, and Jungian psychology. And I started out as a dancer and then an artist. And so I've always been sort of on the fringe, you know?
Right.
And then studied astrology. I just happened to keep meeting astrologers everywhere I went, and had 5 different takes on my astrology chart, and then just started buying all these books and reading the tarot, learning to read the tarot, and studied with a woman who was a psychologist. So I always wanted to have that kind of more serious kind of backup to it. So I didn't want to appear like I was a totally flaky, you know,
foo-foo person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? that there was a seriousness to it, that these were the ancient arts, you know, this is how you read people on a deeper level, you know. So, and of course, you always are keep learning, and tarot, numerology, astrology. I do energy healing work as well,
which is how we met was through
through Life Space, right?
It was through Jinchen.
Through Jinchen. Oh, that's right. But were you at Life Space?
No,
you weren't. Oh, no. Okay. So there, I keep keep thinking you were there. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Okay.
Maybe I was in spirit. Maybe I was there teaching.
Yeah, you were there,
and
I was doing dream workshops and all kinds of. Yeah, and I work with dreams too. So, so all of that good stuff, you know.
We also want to talk about, you know, in your picture on my website, you've got this hat, and I have to say, and it's about creating a sacred space, but you're wearing your hat, and you've got some malas, and you've got, you know, your, I guess it's what holds your energy.
Yeah.
And you've got Shiva.
And I've got Shiva. Is it Shiva? I've asked different people and they've had different takes on that. Is it Shiva? Nobody can really identify who this is.
It looks like a female,
but it isn't.
It isn't.
No.
I think it's Shiva.
Yeah. The hat. Yes. Well, you have to create a sacred space. I think the thing is about holding that awareness all the time. You know, how do you stay in that sacred space all the time? You know, and not buy into this duality, you know? But you've got this very beautiful setting here, and there's nature spirits outside the windows here that I can see. Very beautiful ones, actually.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. It is quite the special little place in Toronto. Yes. I mean, you can't...
I feel like we're in this little oasis here. It feels like we kind of aren't even on the ground. There's no sense of the city being around.
No, anything. I know.
Very sacred spot, so...
Thank you.
Yeah. So, the journey. I wanted to talk about the amazing astrological events going on right now, and... I mean, thanks to the internet, I think most people are aware of things like Mercury retrograde and what that means. We just got over that last one, which was a real doozy.
You know, it was. Was there any particular reason?
Well, it's because Mercury was in Gemini, and Mercury rules the sign of Gemini. So I'm really encouraging people, if you want to learn about basic astrology, just learn four elements, okay?
Right.
And just read from those four basic elements. So, for example, you're an Aquarius,
right?
Okay? I mean, everybody's got to do their sun sign, but so that's an air sign. So you relate to the world through your mind, you know, so it's very much on the mental level. So people are abstracted, you know, you're inclusive, you're, you know, thinking, it's fast moving energy. When the planets are in the sign they rule, they're at home, they have extra power.
That's where Mercury rules, is it?
Gemini. Well, it also rules Virgo.
Oh, okay.
So it rules two signs. And people are going back to the more ancient traditions in astrology, where each planet ruled two signs.
Okay.
Rather than... Well, it gets really complicated. Yeah. Actually, somebody just sent me an email last night. Okay. The moon's going to be in Ophiuchus on June the 7th. How come they don't mention this constellation? Well, there should be 13 signs of the zodiac.
And oh, really?
It's true. And I'm sort of born right on that border of Ophiuchus, the serpent. You know, the whole thing about the serpent? He wrangles serpents, you know? It's because of the ecliptic and, you know, the precession of the equinoxes. And, you know, Western astrology is based on signs and when the sun hits, you know, the Tropic of Cancer, the Tropic of Capricorn. So it's not based on the stars outside. And so a lot of people go, this is why astronomers go, oh, astrology, it's for the birds. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's not based on actually what is, but it still works.
Right.
And it's very Western, but a lot of people are now going into the Vedic astrology, traditional Indian astrology, which apparently is 12,000 years old.
Right.
Which, of course, you wouldn't get married today in India unless you'd gone to the astrologer and they checked out the charts, you know.
Right. And they still do that a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's huge there.
It's huge. Yeah. Because it's been an unbroken lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very spiritual. They do, you know, if you've got problems with Saturn when you were born, you know, you'd go and you do pujas and mantras and you wear the gemstones and it's got to be blessed at the certain time. And you do sort of, you know, blessings to that planet, you know, to Saturn. So he doesn't give you such a rough time, you know.
Right.
But it's based on the stars where they are today. So because of the precession of the equinoxes, when it's the first day of summer, for example, June 21st,
discussion.
June the 20th in California, June the 21st in this time, and June 21st in the rest of the world, the sun is not actually at 0 degrees of Cancer.
Right.
It's actually still in Gemini. It's 23 degrees behind.
Huh.
So,
wow.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, time has passed. And
right.
It takes 72 years for a star to move 1 degree.
Oh.
So even all the ancients watching the stars, they would have had to watch for at least 350 or 500 years to really notice the difference constantly. They would have had to have been watching every night.
Right.
I think I used to do that. I used to have these memories about it. I think I used to, because I'm such a night person, right? I'd stay up all night, I'd watch the stars and the incredible patience, or I sort of thought about, what did they talk about? They'd had to keep each other up and the night watch, you know? About, so you mark down where the star's moving every night, you know, and then you die, and then the next person takes over that watch. It's like a whole other view of what life is about, you know.
Which I think they did in the East. I mean, I think that was really what it was all about. Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the thing to do. Before there was no television, you know, so you know, watch the stars. It's the original big show in the sky. So, yeah, that's what there was to do. So, anyway, so this year, especially for all you Aquarians, Jupiter's in your sign. So this is supposedly your best year in 12. But we've just had this major alignment of Jupiter, which is the planet Mr. Big.
Right.
Jupiter is the big planet, the biggest one in the solar system. He's like Santa Claus. Jupiter's kind of like this big, generous, happy-go-lucky, life's a big adventure, life's a cabaret. I'm a Sagittarian. Jupiter rules my sign. The adventurers, the gypsies, the philosophers, you know, the metaphysicians. Nostradamus was a Sagittarian. The red rubber balls of the zodiac, you know, because you're actually born at the darkest time of the year. You're a Sagittarian.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So you got to be optimistic.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Jupiter. Neptune. Neptune is the planet that rules Pisces, so it's the planet of spirituality. So everything that's New Age is very Piscean, ruled by Neptune. It's the planet of dreams, of visions. It rules oil. It also rules delusion and illusions and fantasy and romantic love. So your soulmate would be under Neptune's domain. That's kind of divine love, higher love.
So not Venus.
Well, Venus is romantic love,
right?
Women, right? The arts, creativity. But Neptune would be the higher octave of Venus.
Okay.
So that's the planet of bliss. That's the tantric merge, you know,
okay.
When you totally lose yourself in somebody else, that's Neptune. Or into the whole cosmos. When you meditate, you're in Neptune's domain.
It's interesting because I think some people have a different take on that. Because I think Neptune is really high in the relationship that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've seen some of the information on it, they say, well, you know, because of Neptune, there's a lot of illusion and you've got to be careful. And so that's interesting.
Well, you do have to be careful because, and we were talking about this before, you know, what's real and what's not. I mean, there's always that choice, you know, what do you really see? But because Neptune is, you're working with the unconscious. So in a sense, it's always projections, you know, in a relationship, you're dealing with your own projections, their projections, you know.
Yeah.
So with Neptune, the danger is you can get, you can be a martyr, you know, you can be overly compassionate. You know, I like the Buddhists talk about it as idiotic compassion, you know, where you, I mean, you have to love everybody, but you know, you don't want to go and be overly nice to someone who's, you know, totally. And then there's Chiron. Now, Chiron is a comet. Now, they keep changing the planetary designation of all these, you know, asteroids, whatever bodies out there. Pluto is now a Plutoid. you know, they made it his own category. So
yes. I thought it was interesting, though, that they did that to Pluto, because Pluto's all about transformation.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a time where Pluto is
really important,
and they've downgraded it to something else,
which I think was you have to take it as a mirror of those guys' own psychology, right? They're trying, Pluto is the lord of death, you know, recycling, decay. So it's pretty dangerous to mess around with that, and because it's very much about their egos, you know.
Yeah,
who do they think they are, right? I think I did a little funny channeling of Pluto's response to that.
Yeah,
just did a bunch of other people. But Chiron is now classified as a comet, and it has a 50-year elliptical orbit, and it was discovered on November the 1st, 1977. So the ancient Greeks, you know, knew about all the archetypes, all of the psychological parts of ourselves. So Chiron's mythology, he was called the wounded healer, and he was actually helped by Jupiter. Jupiter actually helped him. Jupiter is Zeus in the Greek pantheon, okay? And so the story is, you know, he's half immortal, and he has his own wound that never gets healed, but he becomes this great teacher and healer to the gods. And so he has to die so that the pain will end, but he becomes immortalized, right? So he himself is a centaur, back to kind of a Sagittarius thing here. He's, you know, half human, half animal. You have to use the instincts, the animal instincts, with the human consciousness. So Chiron shows us where we're wounded. You know, and archetypally we come into this world. That's part of the journey. We're here to work on that. So where Chiron is where the wound is, but also where the healing is, you know. So it's like a Rumi poem, you know, like the healing is in the waters, you know, of that wound. So this conjunction, you know, is very powerful. It occurs at 26 degrees of Aquarius, which is very close to this Archangel Gabriel, because there are planetary markers for the four archangels in the sky. And so Gabriel is the angel that blows the trumpet on Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. So there is some kind of interesting, you know, we're only 3 years away, really, to 2012 now.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's feeling like the time is moving so fast.
It feels like it.
It really does. You know,
yeah.
We better get our act together here. So Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron together. So it can be like, you know, what you dream of is what you get, you know, and but it, you also have to embrace the wounds. I think the danger is with Jupiter and Neptune is, you know, it's almost too good to be true. That's usually the traditional warning with the Neptune transit, you know, too good to be true probably is you're wearing the rose colored glasses. So, you know, you have to be careful here. You know, right. Where are you fooling yourself? What part of you wants to fool yourself? Do you know what I mean? Where are you being overly optimistic and not seeing the truth? Now, I wanted to talk about Barack Obama and these unicorn paintings that I came across on the internet while surfing the internet one night, late at night. There's a lot of untrained painters, and, you know, Barack Obama is this total Aquarian ascendant guy. He's a Leo, actually, but he has an Aquarian ascendant, so he totally embodies this energy. And people are painting all these paintings of Barack Obama with unicorns. So I thought, well, now there, talk about mythology. So they expect him to be, now traditionally only virgins can trap unicorns. So female virgins. So obviously they're changing the archetypes here.
Interesting.
And Marion Woodman, you know Marion Woodman? Marion Woodman is a famous Canadian Jungian psychologist. I don't even know if she's still alive. I hope she is because she's an amazing lady. And she wrote a number of books. Actually, you should read them, all about women dealing with eating disorders, romanticism. One's called The Ravaged Bridegroom. God, I can't remember them all right now. But anyway, she did a talk years ago. I saw her at the Ontario College of Art and Design, where I went to school, in the early 90s. And she said that it's the job of all visionaries to create the new archetypes. That they were changing, you know, that they keep moving, they evolve, you know, so you always have to be an artist, usually, are the ones who bring those in. So obviously the archetypes around unicorns are changing. So there's Barack Obama. So, you know, what's real and what isn't is really, you know, I think what you have to look at here. And that, you know, you're going to get what you believe to some extent, but I also have that feeling you have to be really watchful, you know, of everything. Especially, you know, astrologically, we're going to get into a whole new cycle. Like the revolution is going to start again in 2010. The revolution of the 60s that was really just seeded then.
Right.
That created all this, you know, when people first started the Beatles. George Harrison, I think, was the big person to bring the whole, you know, the East. I mean, it was building over many years, but it kind of came to a head then. The whole drug revolution and consciousness revolution and the whole Earth catalog and all that, all the ecology stuff started back then, you know, 40 years ago. I think it's the 40th anniversary of Woodstock this year. And then that the 60s were started by these outer planets lining up in an opposition, and now they're going to move into kind of this real critical, what they call a T-square. And so really, it's the younger generations, I think, that are waking up to this now. People in their early 40s, I would say, 40s to 50s, kind of going, this lifestyle doesn't work anymore. And the whole crisis that we're seeing of everything falling apart, you know, is really here to wake people up.
Yeah. Well, and to be aware of the greed and all the things that have created it. I mean, the illusion that the world sort of set has, and the unbalance that it created, and it's really quite a transition that we're going to be going through, for sure.
Well, you know, I think also there is a race against time in a way. Can we pull out in time enough to make things really sustainable? You know, I mean, the trees, you know, apparently all these trees here, the older ones can only live so long, but younger trees being planted now in cities, they don't have as much chance to live because of the level of pollution now. You know, people are more aware and people are doing some stuff, but it's so intrinsic, and it has to go from, you know, all the big factories, you know, and then there's China and India, and you have to think about, we are all globally interconnected. So, and China's on a whole different page, you know, with this.
Yeah.
Than we are in the West, you know. And do
we don't really know what they're up to, really.
Yeah, that's, and it's the anniversary of Tiananmen Square in a few days, 20 years. Yeah, we don't really know what they're up to, and they're pretty ruthless, you know. They don't have the same kind of consciousness.
Well, and you have talked about this a couple times, not on my show, but like to people, like, you know, this whole bit about, you know, the one child and how, you know, predominantly it's male that they're keeping. So what is that going to mean?
It's already happened. Yeah. They've got huge generations of men. There's no women. There's not enough women for them to marry.
Right.
So they're creating their own demise.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah. It's totally out of balance. And I mean, it is an old patriarchal religion, very old patriarchal religion. And
that needs
yet
to
its
change.
Roots are very beautiful and very wise, like Confucianism and Taoism. And all that's very beautiful and very inherent ancestor worship, you know, very spiritual. It's been there for thousands of years. And I think we're just seeing communism, you know, eradicating that whole religion, but it doesn't go away what was there for thousands of years, you know.
Yeah.
Or Chinese medicine, you know.
Yeah.
It's like totally, you know, Jinshin, there you go. You know, it works. Sure. It's totally balanced. I mean, in some senses, they see a much more holistic view of the body, you know, than we do. So there is going to be a melding, you know, and I mean, they need us too. They can't keep going in isolation, you know. It's like, but I don't want to see any more dollar stores, you know what I mean? We don't need any more of that junk, you know.
Yeah.
People are going to have to, I think the era of cheap is over. This is the thing. People are going to want things that last. There's a whole, it's almost like going back in some ways to more conservative values, things that last, things that are made with integrity. And I think people are also, ordinary people seem to be coming more aware that, you know, like the fair trade coffee, you know what I mean? Like the Tim Hortons coffee, even though it's great and everything, it's not fair trade coffee. So somewhere it's made on the sweat of somebody else's back, and that's what you're drinking. And people are not going to want that anymore.
Right.
Their awareness is becoming more heightened, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think everything's kind of changing, that the whole domain, like that whole, it's about balance. It's about bringing the feminine energy back and balancing that out for the first time.
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking about this today. You know, when we hit the year 2000 in numerology, the system that I work with, the number 2000 is the number of the high priestess.
Oh, that
and
makes sense.
So wherever, whatever anybody's birthday adds up to, it shows when you go through what's called your high priestess year. So the number two. Okay. So really you could look at the whole previous time, the number when we were in that 21st century, the whole, you know, beginning with the number one, you know, it's the masculine. And then now this next 1,000 years archetypally is you're under the rule of the feminine and this kind of rebalance, you know, and especially like numerologically, it's been 9 years that we're into this kind of new feminine era, and we're in a number 11 year. So that's a master number too.
Sure.
I think, you know, it's a big change. You know, I think the feminine really has to come back big time. I think that there's so much pressure for women, you know, they have power in a way, but gee, nobody talks about feminism anymore. And that's become sort of a dirty word in a way, you know, and sort of balancing what is that real feminine power.
Well, I think the problem with the whole feminist movement is that it was very masculine. I mean, I think the true feminine movement doesn't have that hard edge to it. It's not that energy. It's very soft. It's very compassionate. It's very loving. Like and you know, we don't have very many role models on as to, you know, it's just a matter of being more authentic and being okay with it. And this I have talked about a lot is that, you know, we come into this world and we chose to be a woman in this life. And, you know, we have the collective unconscious of, you know, you stand in your power, you voice your truth, you're persecuted, like you're gone. And that energy has stopped us until, I would say, probably, maybe you're right, the year 2000. I mean, some say it was 1987 when we had the harmonic convergence, that's when it sort of started coming in. But I think, you know, it's been an interesting time for women. And I think there's a lot of women that are trying to stand in their power and trying to speak their voice, but, you know, are really having to fight their fears and not really knowing, you know, what does that mean and what does it mean to be a woman?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of women I'm seeing these days, they're hitting 40. They were the career women. And then all of a sudden they're going, oh my God, where's that relationship? Oh, I forgot to have, you know, like that t-shirt. I mean, it's very sad and I understand it, you know, but it's like, oh, I forgot to have the children, you know, if that's suddenly their body's hitting them and you know, you still have a choice around that, whether you want to, but it's like, how do you do all that? You know, mm-hmm. how do you have it all? And I'm blessed enough. I have an 11-year-old daughter. So now I'm going, oh my God, I've kind of waited for her to get to this stage. She's sort of pre-pubescent. But I started thinking about how do I really help her and all the other girls to really come into their power? And mm-hmm. there's the culture, you know, out there, and what, you know, what's real power for women and how do you protect that? And mm-hmm. so that's a really important thing. And, women really honoring their own sexuality and
huge.
I mean, there's so many issues. I'm going, my goodness, I never had to really confront all this before.
I think that's one of our biggest problems on the planet, is that we have been so repressed sexually that we're, you know, we're so touch deprived. We're, you know, we're craving, you know, and it's a need, it's a basic need to be, you know, to be held and to be touched. And, you know, I think if more people had, you know, really spiritual sex and really mm-hmm. discovered what that was like, mm-hmm. I don't think we'd have the wars and, you know, the problems that we have.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was an interesting book. Actually, she's one of my favorite writers. Her name is Dina Metzger. She's in California. So she's an elder these days. And she wrote a book about sacred prostitutes. And it's called The Woman Who Slept With Men to Take the War Out of Them.
Ah, interesting.
And that, you know, in the ancient days, if the men had been out to the war, there was these sacred prostitutes who worked in the temples of the goddess. And every woman actually served before they got married. That was considered, you embody the goddess. And that before the men could come back into the culture, because they had bloodshed on their hands, they had to be purified.
Wow.
And the purification was making love to these priestesses who would kind of take all that energy away, you know,
right,
and cleanse them and purify them. They kind of it was like a whole spiritual therapeutic energy cleansing.
Which is not being done for the men at all. And look at the wars we've had. I mean,
so I, you know, I'm feeling like when you start thinking about all these super details, you know, like every time, I remember when my husband and I, my present husband and I first met, I intuitively said, you know, we have to kind of go through every relationship, every person we'd ever been with, and kind of go through it and cleanse it and let it go. And I think for women are so vulnerable physically, spiritually, emotionally, you know, to protect themselves. You carry around so much energy, you know, and we live in a culture that promotes kind of vain sexuality, and it, you know, who, like you said, you know, to have real spiritual sexuality, oneness, connection would be so amazing and healing, and that women used to give that out as a kind of purification, you know. So I mean, that's a whole big topic, you know.
Yeah.
You know, are the men ready for this? You know, are the men, you know, what do they have to go through, you know, to get, you know, to be able to stand in that power, you know?
Yeah.
And to let go of some of their power to gain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To become more vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot.
There is.
A lot.
It's a really fascinating time to be around.
Oh, it is, you know. So on that topic of men and women, if you know, I like to use the astrological events as the planets move around as a kind of as above, so below, you know, the old hermetic maxim of that there, it's timing, you know, for that. We have to work with that energy, you bring it down, you call it down. So there was quite a rare alignment of Venus and Mars on April the 17th, right at the last degree of Pisces.
Oh, yeah.
So Venus had gone backwards, which she does every in her retrograde period every year and a half. Then she emerges as the dawn star, and Mars. And so, right at the last degree of the zodiac, you know, it's like having their marriage. It's like the sacred marriage. I used to work with a woman shamanic teacher, and she talked about the sacred marriage basket and how it was broken. We're talking about this relationship between men and women. You know, I mean, if you've got thousands of years of, you know, women being oppressed in everywhere in the world, you know, the healing that needs to go on just for that marriage to become viable or as an idea or really quality. So archetypally, though, the planets are going, yeah, you've reached the end of a cycle, 29 degrees of Pisces here, right? You're ready to create a new birth. And then they're having another conjunction on June the 21st, which is usually the first day of summer. Back right. to that. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's like a double whammy, right? Because archetypally, that's the gateway, you know, every beginning of every season. So, and this one is going to be in Taurus. So the interesting thing is it's at 15 degrees of Taurus, which is right in the middle degrees.
Oh, right.
So everything is like symbolic, you know. So mm-hmm. having that conjunction right at the end of Pisces or right at the beginning of Aries symbolizes a brand new cycle. And then Venus rules Taurus. We were just talking about the Mercury retrograde and how it was
right.
more powerful because the planets are in their own sign. So Venus is in her home sign. So really they had their last conjunction right at 0 degrees of Aries, which is Mars. Ruling sign. So the mm-hmm. masculine got to have the power and now the feminine gets to have the power. So I thought, well, that's very nice. And right at the middle degrees of Taurus is like the middle degrees are the strongest. And Taurus is all about the body, the earth, you know, right. values. Okay. So really, I think that that's a beautiful day to symbolize this new coming together. Like we're building a new physical sense of what it means to be, well, ultimately whole and complete inside of ourselves. You know, in the tarot, the lovers is the sign of the masculine and the feminine coming together, or the art card, the card of alchemy, mm-hmm. temperance shows the masculine and feminine mm-hmm. coming together. So I think those are very positive symbols. You know, how do we embody, you know, really loving ourselves and being strong and, but compassionate and
yeah.
tender, you know, all yeah. of those
and things. That's this month. That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
June 21st. So I'm going to be leading a ceremony with some women to really bring in that energy. And so with everything else, I think it's like awareness, you know, you have to kind of be aware of where you're being blocked, you know, what's standing in the way, make some space, and then allow the transformation to take place. We have to have new images.
Yeah.
You know, new symbols, right? New ways of doing this kind of ceremony. And then there's going to be this huge eclipse.
Oh, that's right.
On July 22nd. So that one is a total solar eclipse, and it's going to be the longest one of this century.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, 6 minutes yeah. something, you know.
Right.
But as opposed to, you know, obviously yeah. this is a big deal, you know, to have those extra few minutes. So it's happening mainly over India. It's going through Mumbai and parts of China. Because I saw on the internet people are booking tours where they can actually watch it.
Right.
And usually the area where the shadow falls right on the earth is where it is linked to earthquakes.
Mm.
Like the big one that they had in China last year, there had been an eclipse above that area just before. So a lot of people are kind of predicting more eclipses.
Earthquakes.
More earthquakes, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know, there's been a lot of talk about that, you know, all of that talk about what's going to happen with California happened. Right. That's kind of reemerging in that, you know, people that are there are starting to feel the unbalance. And I think, you know, that could be something that happens that, you know, the earth is going to kind of shift a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, whether that happens, you know, in July, I don't think so, but I think, you know, it's starting to...
It happens in stages, you know, it happens in stages. And I feel like even like since 9/11, you know, it's been this big archetypal kind of wake up call, you know, because if we work with the symbols of the tarot,
right.
I mean, yes, 9/11, yes, the astrologers were saying 2 years before that it was caused by Saturn and Pluto having an opposition. And when you look back, the symbols were so obvious. It's like, how come they didn't get it right on? Because Saturn was in Gemini, which is the sign of the twins. And Saturn rules structures, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, I mean, they had put a bomb in the World Trade Center in the early 90s. It's not like it was the first time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Pluto, the planet of birth and death and transformation, was in Sagittarius, which rules airplanes, foreigners, religious fanatics, you know. So there they were. They had their first direct opposition. Literally a month before it happened. And, you know, it's kind of pretty obvious. The signs are kind of there, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't have free will. We do. But there is a kind of sense of fate,
a
fated kind of outcome, right? So in the tarot, when the World Trade Center happened, there is a card. There it is, the tower.
Right.
You know, the number 16, right? So, and it depicts the tower falling, you know, from chaos, right? And it represents the ego crumbling. So really, on some big level, that was, you know, the ancients would have said the gods are, you know, going, they're angry, and, you know, the old structure doesn't last. You know what I mean? You got to think about what we've been doing wrong here, and did people really get it? You know, and then in the, when you work with the tarot, it's, you're either going up or down.
Right.
There's an ascending, descending. So the card before the tower is the number 15, which is the devil.
Right.
And the card after it is the star, which is the symbol of Aquarius. And there's been so many alignments of planets in Aquarius lately.
Yeah.
Which is like what happened in the 60s. Okay. And some level I'm going, well, you know, the jury is out. Does the age of Aquarius start now? Does it start in 300 years? You know? Again,
well,
you know,
I've had a few people say that it started on February 14th
this
year.
Yes, there was that alignment. Yes, I know. That one was not really such a rare alignment, to tell you the truth. It was, there was planets there in the 60s. This one that just happened May 27th, this Jupiter-Neptune-Chiron one, though, apparently hasn't happened in 2,900 years.
Wow.
Which is much rarer. So there's different, you know, how rare is it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a waking up of our consciousness, you know? So, and the 60s are going to start again. That was just the seeding. So it'd be really interesting to see how it really starts to take root. And I think as we get older, things, time is speeding up, but things do seem to be taking, things take a certain number of time to really gel and to complete, you know? So, so there's lots going on in the cosmos. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Pluto's in Capricorn now, and it went into Capricorn permanently last year. And that, you know, Pluto is the planet of birth and death and transformation, whatever it's demoted to a Plutoid, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's transforming corporations. And I think,
yeah,
I subscribe to this magazine called The Mountain Astrologer, which is a pretty serious astrology magazine. And even the astrologers are saying, we're surprised that you know, that the crap hit the fan so fast and everything started to crumble right
so
away.
So quickly. Yeah.
So quickly. Like, we've got another, we got 15 years to go.
Yeah.
So where are we going to be in 2023?
Yeah.
You know, like after it's all laid
done
to waste,
yeah,
you know? So that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. And then, you know, so each time a planet crosses those cardinal degrees, like Pluto going to 0 degrees Capricorn, that's traditionally the first day of winter.
Right.
Okay. December 21st. Yeah. You know, and 2012 has to do with that December 21st,
yes,
the first day of winter, right? The winter solstice there. And then the planet Uranus, which is the planet of revolution, which also rules the sign of Aquarius, is going to enter Aries in 2010. So, which is just next year. So that symbolizes a whole brand new archetypal beginning.
That's true.
And it changes every 84 years.
Wow.
So, if you go back 84 years ago, I believe that by then it's where the planets were before the last depression, the last Great Depression, right? Which was in 1929. But it's all kind of leading up over these next few years. So it is these archetypal cycles, you know, every 7 years. So, you know, definitely there's a new consciousness coming in that we haven't seen in a long time. And people waking up.
Yeah.
You know?
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, really big time. So I think, you know, you see that in the culture, you see it in the movies. I mean, the internet, you know, the internet is like the Aquarius dream par excellence, you know? although I find, when do you ever see real people anymore? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's why I'm so excited when I finally get people into,
I know,
the studio.
I'm going, oh, this is great. Because, I, you know, you think, it's like, talk about virtual reality. I think I've talked to that person, but no, I haven't really seen them in this long. I just send them emails. So, like, when did that seem like you were really connecting to people, you know?
And yet you can so easily. I mean,
well, that's the other thing. I mean, I met someone, I was at a party, and this woman was living in Vienna.
Yeah.
And I went,
how
well,
cool,
of course,
that?
You just call everybody on Skype. And, yeah. You know, I have a friend who lives in Rome, and we're all like neophytes. We're still giggling away. Oh, I can see you on the camera. You know, we're giggling away. Oh, hi. Okay. I'll see you in Roma in August, you know. But you can be anywhere.
Yeah. That,
it's really true.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I can even take my radio to travel.
Ah, you mean it's all in that little box there?
It is, pretty much, yes. I can put it in a backpack.
There you go. So where are you off to?
Yeah, I no plans right now.
You're going to Costa Rica.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Costa Rica just seems like... Have you been there?
No.
Neither have I. Let's go.
Okay.
Costa Rica is like, you know, is actually the only country in the world dedicated to the pure life. Hmm. That's their...
Really?
That's their theme. Yeah. Totally organic. La vida, however you say pure, I can't remember right now in Spanish. That's, they want to live at the highest level of pureness. Yeah, very cool. So, so what else can we talk about here, Lori? Dreams. People's dreams are very powerful these days. And I feel like if you meditate, there are big openings, like new openings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new information coming in. So, but I need more quiet.
Mm.
It's hard when you're in the city. It is amazingly quiet here.
It is.
It's like in this little vortex here.
You know. Yes, I've noticed that.
That's great. So you could just kind of dream away here and forget that you're here.
Uh-huh.
Don't even have to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I definitely lucked out.
How long have you been here?
Just since September.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, should we do a reading?
Sure, why not? Okay. I never get to be treated like this.
Oh, well, this is fun. I love to
Fun.
I love to do readings for people. So, okay. So, Lori, what you need to do is to take the cards.
Okay.
You need to shuffle them really well using your left hand to do the shuffling with. With your left hand, doing the shuffling.
Mm.
That's tricky, I know.
Well, I'm left-handed and I always shuffle into my left hand. I don't shuffle with it.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Hmm. Just when you said that, I went, wow, that's really bizarre because I'm left-handed. I should be...
You're naturally more intuitive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. But I always go into my left-handed. Strange.
Okay. So whenever you feel ready, Lori,
okay.
I want you to think about, here we'll take some deep breaths here together and get really centered. And then put them back together into one, however you like.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so if you could divide them into three piles. And then put them back together into one. Okay. So, Laura, you're an Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a single number 9.
Yes.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
So you are the archetype of the hermit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very happy to be here in your little cave, mm-hmm. kind of meditating and with your beautiful little cat there, falling in love with your cat.
Who's nicely asleep, which is a nice joy.
So learning to listen to your inner self, okay, to your inner wisdom, to the light within. I did this amazing tarot workshop a few years ago with this, he's actually a Tibetan Buddhist monk, and he's a disciple of the older teacher, or my root guru, I guess you would call it, who passed on now, but he recreated this workshop, an experiential tarot workshop, which was so fabulous, because we went through all 22 archetypes of the tarot, and it was kind of multidisciplinary. There was music, people would actually embody the different symbols of the tarot.
Yeah. Is that the 10 or the 9?
Where? That's the 9.
Okay.
Why?
Well, I'm thinking, wow, a 10, not a great play to have as an outcome.
Okay. All right. We'll work with that one. Okay. So the hermit is number 9. So speaking of number 9.
That's true. 9.
Speaking of number 9, you remember that Beatles song? Number 9, number 9, number 9. It's a very obscure, it's on the White Album, I believe.
Oh.
Oh. Number, I'm a big Beatles fan, but anyway, number nine, number nine, number nine. It was one of the first kind of, you know, artsy, you know, Yoko Ono was a real, you know, performance artist from way back when. And it's going to be 999 this year.
Oh, right.
So it's one of those archetypal, that again, talking about the end of consciousness, you know what I mean? The universe does play these kind of symbolic puns, you know, it's like a dream, you know? So 999 is kind of an interesting cycle this year. So the number nine is the number of perfection and of completion. And actually each year, as the calendar year changes, there's a number that governs you for that year, and you are in your own personal number nine year.
Right.
So this is the end of a cycle for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So the number nine is like the symbol of Virgo. So Virgo is an earth sign, but ruled by the planet Mercury. So it's very intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they work hard. They're devoted. They serve others.
I don't know how it happens, but I keep dating Virgos.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Actually with one who's same date of birth as my ex of 16 years. Very strange.
It happens.
Yeah. The same day.
The same day.
Like exactly.
So I'll have to have a look at your chart because there's usually some focal point of energy there, some karmic lesson, you know, that you obviously that I find that people tend to attract people where they have their own literally holes in their own chart. You know what I mean? Mm. These other people come and fill it in and balance it out. And it really is that kind of sacred marriage, you know.
Mm.
You are kind of aware of it on some level, you know. It may not be conscious. So Virgo, the sign of the perfectionist, the organizer, the analyst, you know. The writer. Are you doing any writing these days?
Yeah, it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you have, no, I believe that you actually have all the answers, Lori, to whatever it is you need to know about. So this is a map of the energies working with you. And you've got four major cards in this reading. And of course, the four of them are always about, there's four elements, four directions. It's very basic. It's the square. It's the foundation. And the number four in the tarot is the symbol called the Emperor.
The Emperor, yeah.
Or the King. So it's also like the energy of Aries. So you have to combine all of those symbols. Now you do have the number four, the four of discs here, called Power in my deck. So it's very much about you finding a balance and a focus, a foundation of your power. Also, it has to do with a man in your life. I suppose, and also your own initiative, new projects. Right. Now you have the Death card here.
In the past,
so, yeah, in the recent past, and sort of overruling this whole reading. So it's about change. So it's about how much baggage you can keep, you know,
burning.
More baggage to get going. Okay, more baggage. Okay, more stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Scorpio is the most soulful of all the signs, actually. Hmm. They're here to do the most work. And so, you know, it's all about all those biggies, you know, money, power, sexuality, birth, death, you know, transformation, all of that secrets, the shadow. So you've got the card of justice here as the prime card in your significator, and that's the sign of Libra. So it's always the sign of karma.
Yeah.
So are you in some kind of, you know, I try to read on as many different levels as possible. On the one hand, it's about having to make a major decision right now.
Hmm.
Okay. You're trying to keep your life in balance. Okay. The number eight on the symbol is always infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anything, we have to be aware right now of that we are always present in the moment and that everything we do affects, you know, the past, the future, right now. So you're weighing out a lot of different issues. And really the cards are saying you're ready to take this great leap now. You have the card of the Eight of Swords here. The Eight of Swords symbolizes the Rainbow Bridge.
Mm.
And the Rainbow Bridge is a really beautiful, I suppose it's Native American symbol. It's also based on the Old Testament. You know, the rainbow is always a symbol of a blessing from God, you know, from heaven, that there's help, okay? And the Rainbow Bridge is also the path that we're all on these days because we're combining all of these elements. You know, on your altar, you've got Isis and Shiva, and, you know, there's a little bit of everything there. It's the real hodgepodge, the coming together of everything, you know, that we're all rainbow spirits, you know.
Right.
And also it's the opening of the chakras, you know, all the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah.
So the sense of things speeding up, okay? Mm. You may be feeling not really sure, still back and forth about where you're going with the decision. Okay. And you want to analyze it. Okay. At this point, which you're, as an Aquarian, you are bound to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how detached can I be in figuring out how all the pieces of this come together? You know, I don't want to miss anything. Also, I have this sense, we were talking about this before, of these new visions coming to you. And so on a deeper level, this is what feels like, that it's the end of a certain cycle of awareness and the beginning of a new one, which will be a new foundation for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it feels to me like seeing in a much deeper way.
Right.
Not that you weren't before,
mm-hmm.
but even richer.
Yeah, I can see that.
More facets, more complexities. More right. mature in a way. So then you have the card of the moon here.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah, that's the moon. I mean, I use the...
I was thinking it was the high priestess and thinking, what no, is that no.
well,
card?
Well, it's related to the high priestess because the high priestess there, is yes, the moon. There, yeah, she's there. By implication, it's true. This is number 18, yeah. the moon, which is the symbol of Pisces.
Okay. And also double nine, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's true.
My nines are coming
yes,
out.
The nines are coming up. So let's say... on that day, you know, very important for you archetypally and anybody else with that number.
Yeah.
You know, so because I, you know, I was doing things about, you know, there was 888 mm-hmm. a number of years ago, mm-hmm. very powerful. So this one seems like now we're at another one, or even the stuff that that woman Solara was doing, 1111. Every time I look at my clock, it's always 1111, 1212, 111, you know, 333, 444, 555, every time, all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So we're still in those archetypal sort of, you know, gateways, right? So the moon. Now, the moon is, in a way, like I was talking about Jupiter and Neptune. And Jupiter and Neptune are going to make a number of conjunctions this year. That sense of really opening up to spirit big time, really surrendering. Because Pisces is about letting go of the ego. It's the end of the line. It's that total compassion merging bliss out.
Right. You
know? But again, there's that, it's the dark side of the moon. Mm-hmm. So this is what we were talking about, you know, is Barack Obama the Antichrist or is he, you know,
the, savior, yeah.
the Christ returned, you know,
yeah.
That's that Neptunian, what side are you on, you know, and,
right.
and maybe it's all of it because it's just what is, you know,
right.
it all, it's, you have to encompass it all. So the key with this card is it's usually related to, a spiritual rebirth, you know. I'm really confronting all the fear and really melding that, merging it, going past it. It's a test of your faith. So really, I would say that this reading is asking you to go further, more boldly, more resolutely, just really jumping in than you ever have. So if there's an opportunity... that may have already sort of I feel like the inkling is sort of dropped there already, you know, for you to make a big leap into the big unknown.
Uh-huh.
It can have to do with like going on a vision quest, I would say, something to do with traveling. I really feel that there's a sense of an adventure here starting for you. And then the card of the Emperor. So the Emperor is always that sense of independence. It's Aries yeah. energy. I'm more independent, I'm stronger, I'm resolute, I'm bold, I'm daring, it's the warrior, you know what I mean? We're talking about
right.
women's power, you know? That sense of really owning your power, your
mm-hmm.
spiritual power in this case, you know? And that sense of finding peace, you know, real peace from that, and balance and relationships. And then that sense of, you know, I mean, this card here is in the hopes and fears. So the hopes and fears is always, you know, I want it, I don't want it, you know, as long as we still live in that duality, you know. And I feel like this reading is all about going beyond that because I feel like, you know, you've been really on this path a long time and you're really open and sincere and honest about it, you know, and really resolving those opposites, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they get to the point where there is no duality anymore. It's just all
yeah.
kind of fine, you know, there's blessings. So it's that sense of being totally centered all the time, you know. For me, I don't know what it's like for you. I always get this feeling of like that my eyes are in my heart.
Mm. That's a beautiful way of putting it.
You know,
yeah.
my eyes are in my heart. So you know, I'm always kind of, that's my sense of being really centered these days comes from that. So I know you looked at that and you were kind of going, oh no, I don't want that card on the, I don't want to see that card at the end of my reading.
Well, at least it's a nine versus
a
10.
Nine. Okay. Well, I, you know, the nines are always a completion. So, right. You know, it's not always what it looks, you know,
right.
It's the nine of, it's Mars in Gemini, the nine of swords. So it's about enough with the self-criticizing already.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, that's what has to go.
Right.
That's, it's really like, you know, the death of the ego, finally, where you're not, you know, the little inner critic there just,
you know. Done.
Hmm. You know. Don't listen to it anymore. Well, that'll
be good.
You know? Yeah. And really a breaking free, you know, of,
nice.
Of holding yourself back. So it's really about literally, I think, really letting yourself fly.
Hmm.
You know, you have that picture on your wall of yourself with that owl. And I'm going, have you really merged with that owl? Have you really, you know, embodied that energy?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, no, that's what it feels like to me. I've always felt that was so powerful. And, you know, Lilith has that owl energy, you know, or there's something lately calling me about really merging with the animals, really becoming both, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So on a more kind of spiritual, intuitive image, it feels like you like literally become that owl. You know, the owls are always extremely wise, you know, they bring dreams. In the native tradition, they're actually considered, some traditions consider them dark. That they're right. Harbingers of death. But again, death is always a rebirth. So,
right.
And they see in all directions, you know, they can turn their heads around in all directions, you know? So I feel like for you, it's like following your dreams. What have your dreams been like lately? Your night dreams, your intuitions, that real spiritual journey, you know, making a decision to really strike out on your own. So it seems very independent to me, very strong. Also in terms of relationships, are you having a long distance relationship?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, he's here in Toronto.
Okay.
It seems like it's a different part of the world.
Okay.
It's like Lawrence and Young, but.
Oh, it's not that far.
No, it's not that far, but it's very different.
It's different. Oh, yeah.
Very, sure. Very different energy.
It's a different world, yeah,
mm-hmm.
than out here. So, Lori, did you, some questions, some feedback?
That sounds about right. I know something is, you know, changing with regards to, you know, what I'm doing. And I've been feeling that for a while, and I've been trying to set different things in course.
Do you work with different entities?
I'm sure I do. I don't really think about it or talk about it in that way.
Okay.
But yeah, I know I have a lot of guides that are around that, you know, are very powerful and very strong.
Because I feel like there's going to be a new one.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in.
Yes, it's funny. Somebody said just this week, that, or just today, that, you know, whatever's happening right now, this hibernation period, where it's like this cold, kind of dark weather, which is so odd for this time of year. You know, this is kind of like my last hibernating week sort of thing. Mm. And that something shifts this week that brings some new, which I can't imagine what new thing, but I'm certainly open to it.
Well, I think it feels like it's very much about, I mean, I'm sure you do this. You certainly do trust, you know what I mean? It's certainly a test in your faith to go following a kind of a higher truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I
know somebody's been pushing me to do a video stream of my show. I don't... No,
yeah,
that's...
I was going to say also that has to do with also reaching more people.
Yes, that for sure has to happen.
Reaching more people and getting more support, I would say, as well, for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely.
You know, so
yeah, that has
kind
to
of a
happen.
Waking up after a sleep, you know, But usually I tell people to really listen to their dreams. You know, this is usually kind of a chaotic time.
Yeah, it's been chaotic.
And very much a rebalance. There's this whole thing about sort of a bit too much in your head, not enough in moving, you know. So yeah, there is that sense of sort of a stasis. So I would say this is good. This is about, you know, really working to balance the elements, really working to balance yourself. And it's good, you know, it's a good reading. Karmic people are going to start coming into your life to help you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Powerful people. But you should be writing as well. Yeah, who has time? When are you going to juggle all this, right? How do you juggle it all, you know?
Well, I do write. And I mean, that's been a big part of my life. I had a book that was all ready that went to an editor for 2 years. And it just got changed so dramatically that there was just no way. But so I've sort of divided it up. And,
okay.
I just haven't finished the part of it. I could do an ebook today. Mm-hmm. The other part needs to be, it's just everything's changed.
Right. So. Yeah, well, I find, you know, I've been doing the same thing. I've been writing a book and it keeps changing as your own ideas keep changing and things keep changing. I'm going, it can't be like any solid book. It's going to have to go out over the internet because things keep moving so fast.
Well, and, you know, now that I'm doing interviews on so many authors,
right.
You know, once you start reading other people's stuff, it's really hard to go back into your own, you know, your own information.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool because I get to pick out, as I'm reading the book, I pick out the parts that are me.
Right.
Right. And so we talk about that. So, I mean, that's the beauty of being able to do the interviews. But it's, you know, it makes it a bit more challenging when you're trying to write.
Yeah.
So hopefully this summer I'll have a little bit of a reprieve and I can try and do a bit more writing.
But you need to go on some kind of a little journey.
Mm-hmm. I will keep that in mind. Yep.
You need a vision quest.
A vision quest, huh?
Yeah. So.
Interesting. So, yeah. Well, Tara, it's been
there you go.
Wonderful. I know.
See, I was going, what are we going to talk about for an hour?
I don't think we had that problem.
No, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Laurie. It was wonderful to be here.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell people how they can get a hold of you and tell people about that?
The ceremony.
Yeah.
Okay. The best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, which is www.tarotarot.com. And send me an email. I'm going to be setting this up on June 22nd, which is actually a new moon the next day because it's Father's Day, June 21st.
Oh, okay.
And we figured it's too much. So it'll be in the evening. But I'm also going to be doing a video on YouTube. So for people that can't be there, they can tune in.
Cool.
And kind of lead a ceremony and tell people what to bring, what to do, how to work with it, how to embody it. So
nice.
That's great.
Nice.
So thank you.
You're welcome. I enjoyed this. We'll have you back.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Take care.
Okay, you too.